The globalists are waiting for one final crisis to strike. What might that crisis be?
If they could eliminate all the little banks in America where they just consolidate it down to the six big banks, then it's very easy to implement the digital currency or totalitarian control of the financial institutions, and there's really nothing we can do about it because our money has to be in their system.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan hosts an informative hour with filmmaker Curtis Bowers, producer of the award-winning Agenda Productions. Life as we have known it has dramatically changed in the last 10 years, but that is a part of a 100-year agenda. Jan and Curtis discuss that this hour. Here is today's programming.
The banks, I think the real goal as I look at this and all the things going on, the real goal is to set up where they can create the circumstances to eliminate small banks. Just get rid of all of them. COVID was key in eliminating small business. They hate small business. They hate competition. Remember, John D. Rockefeller said, competition is a sin. And so they want a communistic totalitarian society where there is no competition. They have all power and no one competes for that. And they have all money and no one competes for that. Well, if they could eliminate all the little banks in America where they just consolidate it down to the six big banks, then it's very easy to implement the digital currency or totalitarian control of the financial institutions. And there's really nothing we can do about it because our money has to be in their system. So that's a key thing going on. Also, the devaluation of the dollar is part of the plan to collapse things at the right moment so that when the CBDC comes out, it's like our only alternative. Our money is deflating so quickly that we need something. And so that's the way they do that. And I think they're going to come out with some clever scheme of when they first implement that system to really motivate you to come on board. Hey, we'll give you $1.25 for every dollar that you turn in to become part of our system. And then they'll manipulate things. We only got 3 months for that or whatever. And then the next 3 months, you get a dollar for a dollar. And then the next 3 months, it's 75 cents to the dollar. And then eventually it's zero. Their paper dollars aren't worth anything anymore. So you've lost your money if you haven't joined our system.
Welcome to the program. That was the voice of my guest for the hour, Curtis Bowers. I've worked with Curtis, I think, almost a decade. We've carried his gripping twin-pack DVD Agenda and the companion Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. Do you appreciate the tremendous freedom we have in America? It's no secret that the left, starting with a particular U.S. president, is trying to remove all freedoms from the American people. This is really nothing new, though I would have to say it is being intensified more than I thought I would see it in my lifetime. The communist agenda targeted America in the early 20th century, and it's been the goal of the radical left to turn this country to the ultimate left, turn it into a Marxist paradise, though none of those actually exist. And I believe that Curtis Bowers is perhaps the best at documenting and verifying all of this. He's been a watchman on the wall, sounding an alarm. Sometimes I have to wonder if more than just a few are even listening. So are there really revolutionaries in our midst? Absolutely. If you're in a blue state, as I am here in Minnesota, you're watching their godless wreckage daily. You are watching evil being celebrated, and you are standing on the sidelines watching good people, Christians and political conservatives, be marginalized and mocked on a daily basis. This is today's not just lunatic left, today's demonic left. We're going to touch briefly in the hour on the Tucker Carlson firing by Fox News, some other issues I think we've already referenced here, the banking issue. We'll touch on that briefly. You can learn a lot more at agendaweekly.com. Welcome, Curtis Bowers, back to the program.
Thank you so much, Jan, for having me. I appreciate it.
I want to start by looking back just a couple of years and consider some of the COVID wreckage. And you say COVID was the great leap forward. And I think what you mean is it changed voting laws. It hijacked confidence people had, for instance, in their doctors. I think it honored a shameful man, Anthony Fauci and his cronies. But why don't you further expound on what exactly you mean when you say COVID was the great leap forward?
Most of us on our side know, and I've heard you mention it many times, the other side, starting with Rahm Emanuel, where he let it out in the open, never let a good crisis go to waste. That was their philosophy. Whether it's a naturally occurring crisis or one they fabricated, they don't let it go to waste. They take people's suffering, they take people's bad position to come up with a solution that will give them more power. And COVID was the greatest thing ever. They accomplished more during the first year of COVID than they had in 20 years before that. That's what I mean by the great leap forward. It allowed them to be able to do things that if 6 months before COVID happened, I would have come on your show and said, Jan, I think the government's going to try to make us all shut down our churches and stuff. You would have laughed at me and so would have your audience. That would never happen in America. They couldn't do that. But then 6 months later, mandatory shutdown of the churches, of all businesses. It was this huge leap of totalitarian control that we had just never seen anything like in America before. So that's what I mean. They realized then, okay, when there's this big of crisis that we are making them so fearful of, they really will do whatever we tell them to do. They realize now that was a gold mine, and that's why I wouldn't be shocked if another one was coming in the near future.
You suggest that current revolutionaries in power have arrived at the critical moment in their war on America, and then you say they believe only one more major crisis is necessary to achieve their quest for absolute power. Do you have any thought on what the next major crisis might be?
There's so many things circulating out there. The potential for China to do something, the potential for Russia to finally get fed up with our war against them in the Ukraine and retaliate. There's so many things, but I've always carefully tried to watch and listen to them. What are they saying might be coming in the future? Because so often they telegraph to us ahead of time what's going to be happening. Like Fauci in January of 2017 told President Trump, you will have a pandemic during your presidency. I think, why would they say that? Because then when it happens, we're going to go, how'd you know that? But they think of it the opposite way around. They think when it happens, they can say, we told you this was bound to happen soon. This is just overdue. Well, in October of last year, Bill Gates had another pandemic preparedness conference. At the conference, it talked about the pandemic of 2025 and how it's going to be a virus unlike COVID that's mainly going to cause fatalities in young people. And we just need to be prepared for that. And I listened to the conference. I was like, so that's your plan. And it makes sense to me, Jan, because the amount of ground they were able to cover with COVID is unmatched in every little scheme they've ever had against us in 100 years. So for them to do another one makes total sense. But how strategic? COVID primarily affected people that were very old, past the age of average life expectancy. And so they knew that's not as fearful to people. But if something is affecting the children, that makes everybody scared because you don't want to see your children or grandchildren dying. So I thought, I bet you that's what it is. I do not know that. I'm not saying that's what it is. But I know they've been so effective at always telegraphing, just like in October of 2019, when they had Event 201, which you have talked about many times, where they had this coronavirus pandemic preparedness thing. And then sure enough, a couple months later, it's happening all over the world. You realize they really do telegraph because they need all their people to be on the same page to make the response they want it to be. They want to control the solution to the problem so they can take huge steps forward. I think there's a good chance it could be something like that.
The thing that has really startled me more recently here is, number one, the corruption in the judiciary, but also the weaponization of government. I want to play a clip here. It's actually produced by CBN, and they did an excellent summary of some of the threats to democracy that our judiciary is. And then I want to come back and ask you, how is this a part of the system? And that is the system of infiltration, because I know it is.
Well, investigations into the Justice Department bias against conservatives begin in the House of Representatives today. Representative Jim Jordan's weaponization of government committee has the FBI in its crosshairs.
Well, a man who's been called an FBI legend is also speaking out. Dale Hurd spoke with this veteran agent and author of a new book on the Bureau's downfall.
Thomas Baker has been called an FBI legend. He was the first agent on the scene when President Reagan was shot in 1981 and worked under and alongside many different FBI directors over his 33-year career. With his new book, The Fall of the FBI, Baker is one of the most senior figures to write that the FBI has become a threat to democracy.
The biggest factor, I believe, and what it all traces back to is a change in culture. It began with Robert Mueller, and the bad consequences of it became apparent in the succeeding years.
Baker says the beginning of the fall of the FBI can be traced to a specific moment in time. It was 3 days after 9/11. In those 3 days, the FBI had managed to identify all 19 9/11 hijackers, their associates, and their connections to Al-Qaeda. It was remarkable police work, and FBI Director Robert Mueller was expecting to hear praise when he informed President George W. Bush.
And instead, George Bush dismissively said to him, "I don't care about any of that. I just want to know how you're going to prevent the next one." Mueller was humiliated. He resolved after that encounter to change the FBI from a law enforcement organization to a domestic intelligence organization.
Then, just weeks later, Congress passed the USA Patriot Act. Along with the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, these tools intended to fight terrorism would be used against American citizens. Conservatives, pro-life Christians, and even school parents have become targets of the FBI. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan says he's been contacted by dozens of FBI whistleblowers, and he's vowing to expose FBI corruption.
We had a Department of Justice that treated moms and dads as terrorists. You got the FBI that paid Twitter $3 million to censor conservative viewpoints on their platform. In 2020, they suppressed the Hunter Biden story. It's been weaponized against the very people they're supposed to serve.
A Gallup poll last year found that almost 80% of Democrats had a favorable view of the FBI, but among Republicans, it was less than 30%. Baker says the FBI is a threat to all Americans.
It's a threat on the right and the left. What's been happening to conservatives in the last couple of years could just as easily happen to liberals. And sincere Democrats who are concerned about civil rights or civil liberties should definitely unite with Republicans in trying to reform the FBI.
The out-of-control domestic intelligence agency set in motion by Robert Mueller was, according to Baker, brought to a head by James Comey, who Baker calls the worst FBI director in history.
And a lot of the employees liked him because he was very easy on people. And a lot of bad stuff was allowed to happen that he should have spoken up about.
Comey would be fired, as were the other figures in the Russian collusion scandal.
And the bureau executives keep saying, well, all the rotten apples, they're gone. But they still have not looked at the fundamental problem. Why does this keep happening? And what needs to happen is the culture needs to be changed.
Baker says the FBI needs a serious shakeup, but he's not at all confident it will happen. Far from cutting back the FBI, the federal government is going forward with plans for a new FBI headquarters, twice the size of the Pentagon.
Curtis Bowers, how does this fit into the agenda that you write and make films about?
The Marxists have always wanted to get in and control anything that had power, anything that had influence. That was a good video clip, but I think it goes deeper than that. We know, as of several years ago, that the last CIA director and the last FBI director, when Trump was in there, Brennan and Comey, both admitted they had been communists. I mean, they admitted that. I'm saying that's how corrupt it had gotten, where the head of the FBI and the head of the CIA just 3 or 4 years ago both admitted, oh yeah, we've been communists in the past, but we're not now. And when they were asked, what are you now? They go, well, I don't really know. I know from studying communism, once you're a communist, you are always a communist, unless you've had a life-changing event like getting saved or something like Whitaker Chambers had. I'm saying these things at the top level are completely penetrated, just like our military. They're rotten, evil to the core. Now, the people at the lower levels, there's many great agents that got in there to try to make a difference. Just like in the military, a lot of sweet young guys and girls that went in the military because they love our country. But we know from Milley and Lloyd Austin and all those positions, because they're so powerful, have been captured completely. Last summer, our military was studying about drag shows instead of how to take on the Chinese communist government.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from the Deep South, Curtis Bowers. You can learn a lot more at agendaweekly.com, agendaweekly.com. And I strongly encourage you to tap into his Agenda Weekly update online, which I never miss. You'll be greatly apprised. Some of the issues we're talking about, in an hour, we can only hit 4 or 5 issues, really, and not in great depth. But Curtis, every week, tackles one issue after another in great depth. So I encourage you to check that out. We do carry the Agenda Twin Pack DVDs that he has written and produced, and that would be in my online store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, or call my office or get on our newsletter list. Curtis, you are very adamant that the left, those in power, are trying to silence as many as they can before the 2024 election. And quite frankly, I suspect that even means silencing you and me and the various kinds of media that we do. Bully politics in our country is now at a different level than I ever expected to see it. You were quite outspoken about the Tucker Carlson firing, which I feel was a fatal mistake on the part of Fox News, and you and I both know they were heading left anyway, but there are still some commentators on there that are very solid conservative people. You have just plain advised folks to move away from Fox. Why don't you explain that?
Yes, there might be a few other ones that are okay, but when they do that, they pretend to be this conservative alternative. And then their number one person that's actually addressing the issues, hitting the topics so hard, and is having an education himself, you can see him growing over the last couple of years as he starts to pull back the curtain further and further, and they get rid of him, then you realize they need to pay for doing that. And we need to turn this into a great blessing to our side. And what I mean by that is if we send our people, instead of to Fox News where you're getting half and half, to so many different independent people, like your show, like Agenda Weekly, where they can find the truth from real people, we've done a great blessing if we can expand the alternative media. But Tucker, they had to get rid of him before 2024 because they knew if they tried to fiddle with the election again, he would talk about it, even if he was told not to. And they couldn't have that. They can't have people in the mainstream ever exposing their lies. They want to always refer to all of us as, oh, that's the alternative media, a bunch of conspiracy theorists, which isn't true. We're the ones speaking truth, but that is not accepted in the world today in the reality they're trying to create.
You said you knew that Tucker was in danger. Actually, you have a good commentary on this that I think I'd like to play, and you bring out a couple of very intriguing angles.
Why this silencing right now is so important is because they saw Tucker was waking up millions. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was waking up millions. And so they realized, they know that they've had the deep state in Washington, D.C., the establishment, they've had that for decades. They've had the intelligence community for decades. They've had the military for decades. One thing they haven't had sure control over is the elected officials that come and go every 2 or 4 or 6 years. If they can accomplish this, now they've rigged the third election in a row. They know, okay, now we don't have to worry about federal elections anymore because we've got control of that, and we're going to keep changing all the voting laws where it makes it so easy for anyone to vote as many times as they want to. And then if they can get the illegals to vote where it's 10 million more votes for them, then they know, oh, we can't lose. And that's when there's no more Mr. Nice Guy, because they know, okay, now we don't have to pretend to care about what the other side thinks. But some of the reasons why Tucker was fired, I just want to briefly hit on a few things. He, of course, was hitting and attacking Big Pharma. You can't do that. He was exposing the lies of January 6th. He can't do that. I don't know if you know this or not, but in February of this year, BlackRock, they took over 15% more of Fox News. So they were behind the scenes, realized, okay, we need to get more control so we have more power in deciding what they're going to do. So I think they're even going to eliminate many of the moderate conservatives. Those that aren't speaking the party line are going to go because they need that control. I'm going to show you the clip, I think, that got him fired for sure. Again, it was many, many things because he's been speaking too much truth. But this clip I'm going to show you, I believe, was the nail in the coffin where they said, he's got to go now. Watch this, then we'll talk about it.
Trans ideology claims dominion over nature itself. We can change the identity we were born with, they will tell you with wild-eyed certainty. Christians can never agree with this statement because these are powers they believe God alone possesses. That unwillingness to agree, that failure to acknowledge a trans person's dominion over nature, incites and enrages some in the trans community. People who believe they're God can't stand to be reminded that they're not. So Christianity and transgender orthodoxy are wholly incompatible theologies. They can never be reconciled. They are on a collision course with each other. One side is likely to draw blood before the other side. That's what we concluded last week. Yesterday morning, tragically, our fears were confirmed. A self-identified trans person called Audrey Hale committed mass murder at a Christian school in Nashville. Hale burst into a place called the Convent School and executed 3 9-year-olds as well as 3 adults. Police have released body cam footage from the end of the massacre. We're showing you just a small part of it. You can see the rest online if you want. We're not going to show it because that's too awful and sad. But what was almost as sickening to see in a far more subtle and insidious way was the media coverage of yesterday's tragedy. Here's Terry Moran of ABC News, for example, suggesting that Christians were murdered in Tennessee because they infringed on the rights of transgendered people. Watch.
Audrey Hale identified herself as a transgender person. At state of Tennessee earlier this month passed and the governor signed a bill that banned transgender medical care for minors, as well as a law that prohibited adult entertainment, including male and female impersonators, after a series of drag show controversies in that state.
The state of Tennessee bans the sexual mutilation of children. Children get shot to death in a school. It's cause and effect. That's what ABC News is telling you. That's not far from justifying mass murder. But others took the next step. A group called the Trans Resistance Network said that the shooter's death was a complex tragedy that resulted from, quote, anti-trans bias. The Hershey Chocolate Company's new trans spokesman, meanwhile, someone called Faye Johnstone, posted messages after the shooting complaining about, quote, trans misogyny. In Canada, a taxpayer-funded trans rights organization put out a statement that ignored the murder of the children in Nashville entirely and instead claimed there has been a, quote, exponential rise in anti-trans violence. That is a lie. It's a provable lie. And in fact, the opposite is true. We seem to be watching the rise of trans terrorism. The man who tried to murder Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh after the repeal of Roe v. Wade identified as a, quote, trans gamer girl. The man who shot up a nightclub in Colorado in this past November and murdered 5 people identified as non-binary. And now this. And there could be more.
That was a clip from Curtis Bauer's Agenda Weekly online presentation that he does usually every Friday. Sign up at agendaweekly.com. Curtis, you want to comment on that? Because that's all you. And then you're introducing the Tucker Carlson story and the reason why you feel he met his, at least Fox News, demise.
From what everyone just heard there, he did 3 things you cannot do. He defended Christians. You cannot do that. He was dogmatic in his rejection of their new sacrament, which is child mutilation. And number 3, he exposed their lie that medical care equals mutilation. It's not medical care. It's torture. It's abuse of a little child. I remember when that clip came on, I was like, oh my goodness, you can't do that. You can't attack their new God and their new religion and their sacrament that gets them to their place of nirvana in their new world they're trying to create. So sure enough, he was gone, but he was really doing so many great things over the last year or two, but that was a bridge too far.
You bring out the fact that Mr. Biden announced for campaign 2024 for a second term the day after Tucker disappeared from Fox News. Now, whether that's coincidence or not, I don't know that we'll ever know, but it is interesting timing.
Yes. The one person that would have exposed to the public the reality of that, a man with dementia, said he's going to run again 2 years from now for president. What are you talking about? What kind of world have we entered where it's obvious it's a puppet there? It's always been a puppet. All the behind-the-scenes CFR members and all their cabinets, they're the ones telling them what to do. But when you know it's a puppet, like this guy can't put a sentence together, he doesn't even know where he is most of the time, it's mocking the American people is what it's doing.
Give me you a heads up here, folks, because I had Michelle Bachmann on the program a few weeks ago, and she was going to go to Geneva to the World Health Organization. Let me just give you an update, because the efforts of the World Health Assembly in Geneva, Switzerland, this was the end of May, and the efforts there were to transfer national sovereignty through healthcare to the World Health Organization. And Michelle was present in Geneva praying against this outrage. And this is just one more step towards global government, what the efforts that went on in Geneva. And to one of the most corrupt outfits on earth, the World Health Organization. So the implications here are legion. The attendees voted to make the official vote on this effort happen in May of 2024. Not one of the dozens of nations attending objected to all of this, not even America. This is another barometer of how late the hour is. This is all a push, again, for global government. And all the nations, at least that attended this World Health Assembly, which was on behalf of the World Health Organization, they were all on board with uniting in May of 2024, and global government could be formed with healthcare as the basis of that formation. So even though we're missing an antichrist, all nations of the world that are tied into the World Health Assembly and the World Health Organization are just fine with uniting over healthcare into a union that will lead to global government. I want to know why every news agency on the planet is not reporting on this. And if you Google this information, they will tell you it's a non-story. Really? You know what? I can almost hear the hoofbeats of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We're going to come back in just a few minutes here, and I'm going to continue on with Curtis Bowers. A lot more yet to talk about. We opened the program with a tease on the banks. Where is the banking crisis going? Do we have a banking crisis? I maintain we do. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. We have entered our 22nd year of broadcasting Understanding the Times Radio, and now are heard on almost 1,000 stations and electronic outlets. Thank you for partnering with us. We are in a critical time for believers, as we are clearly called to be watchmen on the wall in these last days. We can't thank you enough for trusting this ministry and for investing financially and prayerfully. If we have been a blessing to you, why not tell five people that they should tune into Understanding the Times Radio for news, views, and truths? If you don't know which station to listen to, listen on our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, and then go to radio. We have years of programming posted there in both audio and video format. The rest of 2023 is promising to be a challenging year, so stay tuned and always look up. He is coming soon.
Everything has been flipped, and that's how I know it's from the father of lies. It's getting us to worship the creation instead of the creator. It's getting us to cut CO2 instead of produce more CO2. It's getting us to be fearful of warming when that's a blessing. With a warmer climate, you have longer growing seasons and more of the globe can be farmed. It's all smoke and mirrors to enslave people to give the energies of their life over to a complete lie.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now here are Jan Markell and Curtis Bowers to wrap up today's programming.
Washington State Senate just passed Senate Bill 5599, allowing the state to hide children from their parents. No allegation of abuse is required, just the child's delusional desire to change the gender of their own body. The bill compels state-licensed youth shelters to act as accomplices in castrating children without their parents' knowledge, and allocates over $7 million to pay for the surgical and pharmaceutical castrations. According to this new law, if a child shows up at a youth shelter in Washington state and expresses the desire to change the gender of their body, claiming that their parents are against it, then the youth shelter is legally obligated to not notify the parents of the child's location, but rather to funnel that child into the destructive and horrific world of transgenderism, paid for by the state of Washington with taxpayer dollars. And it's not limited to Washington residences. Any young, confused, runaway child can now make their way to Washington to get castrated by the government without their parents ever being notified.
Welcome back. Glad you can join me for Understanding the Times Radio this week. I have on the line from Alabama, Curtis Bowers. You can learn more at agendaweekly.com. We carry his Twin Pack DVD on the agenda. That would be the communist infiltration into America the last 100 years or so. Curtis, I'm just going to jump off that little soundbite. I want to talk about this just for a minute. They are so strategic. They are so premeditated. And what's happened is, in our society today, we cannot attack the trans agenda. It's the new religion of the elite. It's the new cult. Bow down and worship or be thrown into the fiery furnace. That's a quote from you, by the way. And this is all a sacrament, but this is all child mutilation. Did you ever think you'd see the day?
No. Even 10 years ago, if you'd have told any person in this country, hey, the next movement is going to be a movement to try to convince little boys that they might actually be little girls, and then not only convince them, but then have them get the surgery to make that look like it's a reality. Of course, it's not. You cannot change your XX or XY DNA makeup that God gave you. It's beyond shocking. But here's a key thing it is, Jan. Of course, it's satanic. Anything that would try to mutilate a child is so wicked. But it is preparing the ground and the psyche of a nation to accept transhumanism. It is the stepping stone where then not only have we broken down, no, there's not just male and female. There is all these other possibilities that man can be if he just chooses to be that. And it's just rebellion against the book of Genesis in every level, but it's a stepping stone. It's going to get far worse.
You say that we're coming down the home stretch. They see 2030 and they have much ground to gain by that time. What is your reference here to 2030?
2030, of course, is the Great Reset. Yep. With World Economic Forum, and you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. All their goals that they've set for totalitarian control, where all private property has been abolished. The United States of America is no longer the leading superpower of the world. But I think the trans movement is to destroy the children, of course. That's why it's satanic. But it's to make Christianity against the law. Because they're going to say, if you tell that child they're really a little boy or girl, that's a hate crime. You're going to jail. If you share the gospel with them and tell them they're a sinner in need of a savior, you're going to jail. And we see this stuff already going on in Canada. It's already going on in Europe, as you know, Jan, where people praying over there silently outside of an abortion clinic, you're going to prison. And they are so powerful, as we've already seen. You go against them, you are snuffed out instantly. But it's to silence Christianity is what I believe the end game of this thing is.
Interesting. Perhaps it's God's judgment against the Western world for embracing all of this as well. I opened the entire program, Curtis, with a clip about you actually talking about the banking crisis, because we're heading towards CBDC, central bank digital currency. The banks, their goal is to set up where they can create circumstances to eliminate small banks. And that's what that opening clip of you was stating. First, small business, which happened a lot during COVID, and then eliminate the small banks and bring them down to six big banks and then digital currency. Talk to me about this for a minute or two. Again, as I might have said in opening the program, every listener has an interest in this topic.
Because we all have to have money, the way the world works, to provide for our families, to get the things that we need to survive. So it's vital. That's why it's so deadly if they can get control of that one thing you have to survive. They're setting up for the CBDCs. And if people don't know what that is, it's a digital currency that would be put out by our Federal Reserve. And so slowly their goal is, get everybody used to using it. And a lot of you might say, well, we already kind of use digital currency with our credit card. Yes, we do. But you still have cash in your pocket. If you want to buy something, if you want to give someone a donation, you still have the freedom to spend your money how you want to and privately if you want to, where you might want to buy something like, I don't want everyone in the world to know I just bought that. So once the digital currencies are implemented, and if they can weed out the small banks, then when you get paid, it's in the digital currency. Your money is in that currency. And so they can decide, and this is not me saying this, if you read their own articles and speeches, they talk about we need it where we can control it so people only buy the things they should, like to help the environment. If you already had a hamburger today to eat, it will not let you buy another hamburger because that's too much CO2 emissions on the environment. So it would dictate what you can buy, when you can buy it, how you can buy it. And then what we saw in Canada a year ago with the Freedom Convoy, these truckers, all of a sudden their bank accounts were seized because they just were at a peaceful protest saying, hey, we think these COVID restrictions are ridiculous. And they're like, oh, you do? Okay, you're in trouble. So we've already seen how easily it is to abuse people when you have control of their bank account. But if this CBDC digital currency is allowed to move forward, then they'll have that kind of control of all of us all the time. There's no way to buy something they don't want you to buy. And then they can delete it. If you're like, oh, remember PayPal had a thing, they're going to create a $2,500 fine if you said something they didn't like that was a misinformation. It hurt them terribly, but it shows their mindset. If they could do that, they would do that. So that's why this is something that we have to refuse to use. We have to go back to bartering if we needed to, if it comes out and they don't give us an alternative. And we need to get creative, which we will, because we have had a history of being free. So there'll be many people coming out with creative solutions, and we need to use those.
I have an article in front of me from Prophecy News Watch, headlined, Conservatives Face Dangerous New Trend for Speaking Out, Becoming Debanked. Let me read two paragraphs. J.P. Morgan Chase and Company have been accused by 19 Republican states of debanking, in other words, the involuntary cancellation of bank accounts, members of conservative or religious groups with rising frequency, clients associated with conservative or religious beliefs, are reporting being expelled from financial institutions, including Sam Brownback, former U.S. Ambassador for Religious Freedom and current head of the nonprofit National Committee for Religious Freedom. And Brownback comments here, we've just heard of way too many groups and entities, particularly religious-associated ones, that have been canceled by their providers, and we want to start seeing some of these cases investigated. I think I'll stop there, Curtis, and get your thoughts on this.
That's where the future's heading. Mike Lindell from Minnesota there with MyPillow. Years ago, they said, nope, you can't have a bank account anymore. No, they're not playing games anymore. I think for so long, we've always thought of this as their side and our side, and we both love our country, and we're both wanting to go in the generally same direction. And my movies and what you've been talking about for years tells us, no, it's not that way anymore. One side has been completely hijacked and the other side partially hijacked to work for an agenda that no American's interested in and that is to the detriment of every American. Once there's digital currency, they just turn it off. And you have, that's not fair. Well, yeah, good luck getting your money back. That's why, again, this is just a huge issue at the forefront. You need to be educated about and educate others to just say no when it comes to digital currencies, because we will lose our freedoms like we never have before when they can penalize you by taking money out of your private bank account if you say something they don't like.
How does all of this, including the banking situation, the Tucker Carlson fiasco, for lack of a better word, how does it fit into the agenda? In other words, you've documented the agenda in this two DVD set that we carry, which is the communist infiltration into America since about 1920 or so. But how does what we're talking about here, the banking crisis, even fit into that agenda?
It's key because, like we were talking about, the money has so much power. It's so necessary for life. They've slowly, since the 1920s and 30s with Antonio Gramsci, they say we need to march our way through the institutions of influence so we can use them to change the American people from within and get more power and control. That's why all the policies they've put forward for the most part over the last 100 years have slowly taken more and more of our freedoms, have slowly created more and more dependency, have slowly made us less capable as a people, less intelligent, less prepared to live a successful, meaningful life. if we can then stop those that are still productive, even though we've tried to tax them to death, we've tried to regulate them to death, but they're still so prosperous because they're free. If we can just smash them down, then we will have eliminated all opposition into silence. And then we can march forward into this beautiful World Economic Forum utopia. Right. That's what I think it is. It's just one of the areas they've been going after everything possible to do it.
I'm going to play one more clip and have us discuss it for a moment or two. And that would be election integrity, because I think you and I feel pretty strongly that the left is getting ready to hijack our 2024 election. This is actually KT McFarland talking about this very topic.
We now have black and white evidence that the FBI interfered in the 2016 election. And then when they failed to get their candidate elected, Hillary Clinton, then they set out to destroy the Trump administration. So then go up to 2020. It was the CIA this time that got involved in the 2020 election with those 51 former intel agents who talked about the Hunter Biden laptop as total Russian disinformation. Mm. So they've gotten away with it for two elections. They're for sure going to get away with it, try to get away with it in 24, right? Because there's no consequence. The difference is in 2024, the evidence is there. We now have the Durham investigation. We have all the congressional investigations. There is now hard evidence that there was election interference by the U.S. intelligence agencies and the Department of Justice. They've got to be terrified. Those individuals have to be terrified that a Republican president comes in the 2024 election with a Republican attorney general, investigates them and charges them all with the crimes they've committed over the last 8 years.
Well, we'll see about that. You're right. There are questions around these elections because of this interference. Do you think there will be election interference then in 24?
Take it to the bank. They will absolutely interfere in 2024. We're not sure how, but they will absolutely interfere, not only because they're not going to like whoever the Republican candidate is, but because they're going to protect their own hides. That's why they were talking to their own people, and the whistleblowers have brought this up, that they were told, don't put anything on paper, just tell us orally. They knew that they were doing stuff wrong. They knew that they were going to be liable for prosecution.
It's too bad. I wish the media were more curious about all of this. Unfortunately, the media takes the narrative of the Democrat Party and runs with it and then tries to cancel anybody who's not on board.
Well, they're in the same position. They can't possibly admit they were wrong because that just undercuts their whole reason for being. So they're going to continue to have the fake narrative and they're going to continue to cover up and pretend that nothing bad went on. I mean, they're all in it together. This is what the terrible thing is. These people are selling the country. They're just selling us out, not only to foreign leaders, but they're interfering in our elections. They're tearing up the Constitution. Why? Because they want to protect their jobs. They want to protect their ratings. I never thought I would be this upset about how anybody in the government was performing, but this is just a gut punch to the American people.
It really is, and it's because you're a patriot. You don't want to see this kind of injustice. I agree with you.
That was KT McFarland with Maria Bartiromo. And Curtis, you talk about this and election integrity, which we're losing more literally on a daily basis. But give me your feedback here.
The communists, the globalists, those internationalists, they want total power. And we know that. We've seen their agenda items and their list of goals. So, of course, when they've successfully been able to pervert several elections in a row, to think, oh, no, they won't do it this time is crazy. I know this. They will do anything they're able to do to make sure they do not lose power and control. Again, there is a God, and so God might foil their plans. Different things can happen, and we should be praying about that. But they will do their very best to make sure they do not lose all the ground they have gained, especially just since Biden here. But over the last 100 years, they have been marching down this road, and they're getting so close to the finish line, and they know it. And they're not going to let anyone stop them from doing that.
Very well said. Very tragic to have to talk this way. I suspect you're right. McFarland herself, who's a Washington insider, I mean, she just says, take this to the bank. They're going to try it again in 2024. It's very discouraging. It's hard to get conservatives even out to vote knowing some of this. And I know you feel we need to make the effort anyway.
We always need to do our part and then pray that God will be merciful and help us in the things we're trying to do that are good and right. Why do we want to vote the right way? Because we love our neighbor. We want to be a blessing to them because we know if we have conservative laws and freedom is abounding, then people are going to be able to do the things they think God wants them to do. And they're going to raise their families the way they should raise them. That's why we want to always stand up, because it's not just ourselves we're worrying about.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Curtis Bowers. He's produced the DVD Twin Pack Agenda, This is documenting the over 100-year effort of the communist agenda coming into America. It's a brilliant couple of DVDs, folks. I cannot recommend it highly enough. Find it in my store, olivetreeviews.org. Find it in my magazines or give my office a call, and we'll get that out to you very quickly. Learn more about Curtis Bowers and all of his products at agendaweekly.com. I want to send out a heads up because you have called for a Fasting Friday. Give us a minute or two plug on that because I think it's really important.
We're encouraging everyone every Friday, if you fast from after dinner on Thursday night, so you eat dinner on Thursday night and then you fast until dinner on Friday night. So it's kind of a 24-hour fast, but it's easier. But during breakfast and lunch on Friday, you spend the time you would have spent eating on your knees, asking God to give you clear direction on what he would have you to do, praying for our country that he would be merciful to us even though we do not deserve it, and that he would magnify our impact, our understanding, our ability to share the gospel, and he would just use us for such a time as this to make a difference for him. And if he just did that every Friday, skipping breakfast and lunch and earnestly praying to him, it will make a huge difference, I know, for eternity in what he does with our sincerity in doing that.
Wonderful. I hope folks will take advantage of that. Curtis, you and I could talk for 3-4 hours on all the topics that you cover as far as what's moved into the culture and society here again in the last 100 years, how it's subversive. You do tackle, thankfully, the climate, and I'm going to use the word hoax, and the cult of climate, the fact that Christianity may be one of its targets, the fact that it's gaining ground. Here's the sad part. It's gaining ground even with Christians. Perhaps they're a little more biblically illiterate. Maybe not. I'll give an example here in just a moment. But one of the tools that this cult of climate is using is to go after the denominations, the evangelicals particularly, telling them the most important thing we can do is to love our neighbor, and therefore we have to be engaged in all sorts of climate activity, even though I maintain only God controls the climate. But bring into the fact why you have brought this into your discussion, which I'm so glad you have.
It's one of the main vehicles they're going to use because it sounds like such a noble cause. We're going to save the planet. That sounds pretty wonderful. Here's the thing you have to know. Every human being on the planet cares about the environment, and we really want it to be clean in the right way. But here are the facts. Everything the environmental movement is doing today is detrimental to the environment. Solar panels, electric vehicles, and wind turbines, those three things alone are doing the most destruction to our environment worldwide than anything because of the mining that has to be done to get the minerals necessary for those things. There's some great documentaries out there on that. So you see, it's a fraud. The solar panels hurt the environment worse than anything. Electric vehicles hurt worse than anything. The amount of lithium you need out of the ground. And most of it's being done by children and slave labor, if you study this issue. But then you look at the bedrock issues of the climate. It's all a fraud. It's a lie. They say CO2 is a pollutant, when CO2, carbon dioxide, is plant food. And we don't have near enough of it in the environment right now. There's 400 parts per million right now. And the ideal level for everything that is green is 1,600 parts per million. That's why greenhouse growers have CO2 machines just pumping in carbon dioxide into the greenhouses so the plant growth efficiency explodes. Warming is wonderful. Cooling is what is deadly. Everything has been flipped, and that's how I know it's from the father of lies. It's getting us to worship the creation instead of the creator. It's getting us to cut CO2 instead of produce more CO2. It's getting us to be fearful of warming when that's a blessing. With a warmer climate, you have longer growing seasons and more of the globe can be farmed. It's all smoke and mirrors to enslave people to give the energies of their life over to a complete lie.
Couple of the primary targets, evangelical Christianity. I'm on the website here of Evangelical Environmental Network. Recently, they say the city of New York made the groundbreaking decision to ban gas stoves in new buildings beginning in 2030. While some may view this as a radical step, again, folks, this is the Evangelical Environmental Network. Many American families are already choosing alternatives to gas appliances in their kitchens, as they learn about the potential health risks gas stoves may pose to their families. As evangelical Christians, we care about these possible harms to our children and communities, as well as the impact of gas stoves on God's creation. By switching out outdated and wasteful appliances, we can also reduce our contribution to methane pollution, which harms our neighbors and drives dangerous climate change. And then, National Association of Evangelicals, I'm not saying National Council of Churches, okay? National Association of Evangelicals, they state record-breaking heat waves, widespread forest fires, and other extreme weather events capture our attention while the environment affects us all. The most profound impacts are on those in poverty. And then they promote Loving the Least of These, Addressing a Changing Environment, which is a book, is an updated report showing how climate change impacts the world's most vulnerable. Curtis, doesn't that make it sound more sanctified the way they're stating here?
Yes, and it'd be nice if any of that was true, but it's not. The amount of poor little black children that die in Africa each year because of current environmental policies is estimated between 5 and 10 million. Because they're not allowed to have electricity. They're not allowed to build power plants because it might hurt the environment. So they don't have refrigeration in their homes. They don't have water because they don't have pumps. So they got to spend all day walking to get a little thing of water to drink. And it's dirty water. It is a satanic agenda that Satan has carefully crafted to make it appealing, if it's sold right, to every group that's out there, because we all do care about the earth.
Absolutely.
I'm not knocking that.
Same here.
I love hiking and I love water, but this is not about that. They're telling you it is, but it's a bait and switch for power and control. They want to cut the production of energy, not to save the planet, but to create poverty so no one can afford electricity because it's so expensive, and so they are in control of those people. They want to control the water system. They want to eliminate the food production, which means millions are going to starve. All these policies are the most evil thing you could do to your neighbor is to help implement them. The earth's doing just fine. God designed it to be so resilient. And it was made just for us. It's amazing, especially if you look at all the countries that are free, how clean they are. You go to any communist country, any socialist country, you look how they're pillaging the environment, like in China and different countries that are not free. Those governments could care less about the environment. But America has been doing nothing but getting cleaner and cleaner for 50 years now because we had the money to do it. They're creating poverty, and poor people could care less about the environment. They're worrying about what they're going to eat today. So it's going to create more pollution as they make everyone go into this state of dependence on them.
Learn more about Curtis Bowers at his website, agendaweekly.com, and do sign up to get his weekly agenda update online only. Curtis, thank you for all you do. I can't thank you enough for the truth teller that you are. It's hard to talk about the things we've talked about this hour. It sounds a bit negative. It is a part of an agenda, which I'm so thankful you have documented the agenda, but it's a tough agenda even to talk about.
And here's just a couple things that I just want to encourage people with.
Please.
Okay, all of you listening, some of you maybe have been sober. There's some important things going on. I might need to be a part of the solution to the problem. You need seven things real quick. Number one, you need to be praying sincerely about what's going on in the world, about what's happening to our country, about your neighbors. You need to share the gospel. We need much more time in prayer talking to the creator. What would you have me do? Number two, you need to be prepared. This world is so uncertain now. We learned that from COVID. All the people we used to tease, you know, the preppers, we found out, hey, that's not all that dumb. I would be prepared. Have a couple months of food and medicine in your home, knowing that the future is uncertain, like the Bible tells us. If you're prepared and your neighbor's not, you might be able to be a blessing to them if something does happen. Three, separate yourself out, if possible, a little more rural, out of the big congested city areas. But it also means, like the Bible talks about, being separate. Get away from the things that are not a good influence on you, that are not encouraging you to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and strength. Separate out from those things so you'll be more equipped and more prepared and closer to the Lord to do what he'd have you to do. Number four, you need to share the gospel. You cannot have the hope that is within you and not tell your friends about that and your coworkers. You need to build up the courage, pray for the courage, but then do it. Just say, let me tell you what God's done in my life. That can be the greatest blessing that you can ever do to anybody. Number five, you need to influence others with the truth. You need to turn people on to Jan Markell's show. Maybe other friends go, oh, I always hear you talking about what's going on. Say, hey, why don't you tune in on Saturday at this time and listen, and trying to get people to truth. Because when you see the truth, then it's easier to expose the lies and it sets people free. Number six, we need to all work in building alternative systems. As we see, they want totalitarian control. We need to make sure we're not dependent on them. Get out of the big banks. have your money in your local bank right there where you know the guy and he knows you and you have a relationship. And then we can come up with solutions as different things happen in the future. And then number seven, establish like-minded relationships. Find people at your church, at your work, in your neighborhood that do understand the times. They do care about what's going on. They do love the Lord. And take the time to meet together once a month, get to know them, talk about what's going on and things maybe each of you can bless each other in. But we just need to get back to the old days where we knew our neighbor, we loved our neighbor, and we looked after our neighbor and each other. It builds such strength and unity at the local level. So maybe the federal government's going off the deep end, but at our local level, we are free, we're independent, and we are self-sufficient in the things that we need. Then I have one homework assignment for everybody. Tonight, go open your Bible and read Psalm 37. That's what I do when I'm overwhelmed by the evil in the world. It is such a blessing. It will comfort your heart and you'll love it.
What a great conclusion to this hour, folks. And I'm completely out of time. I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries in Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Be encouraged. God remains on the throne. Prayer changes things. God watches over the sparrow and cares for you even more. But as we watch troubling things in the world and the church, know that God allows all of these events to transpire so that everything can fall into place.